Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey, Lazy Geniuses, I'm Kendra Adachi, and you're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. Here, we help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. This is season one, episode two, and my guest today is my pop culture brother, Nick Flora. Nick is a singer-songwriter from Nashville, a Twitter funny man, and my pop culture doppelganger. He loves movies and television, like more than I do, which is saying something. So when I got a question from a Lazy Genius reader asking me to explain the basics of a lot of the popular TV shows so she could keep up in conversation, I knew that Nick was the person to talk to. But first, we go on a surprisingly thrilling tangent about growing up in 90s Christian culture. This is a fun one, and I hope you get a laugh.
What's up?
Hey, Kendra. No, not much.
We should do the entire podcast talking like this.
Thanks for having me over. Wait, are we some podcasts want to have that. they want to have that illusion, right, that we're in the same room.
We are not in the same room.
We are in different states.
We are different states. We are in legit different time zones, which I did not realize until I went to Nashville that Nashville is in a different time zone.
It's really dumb. We shouldn't be.
North Carolina. We're like, just a few hours away. It seems so weird.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, literally, maybe 90 miles east is the line. I don't know who came up with that, but it's messed up.
Whoever came up with it was not paying attention that day.
Because if you go from here to Chicago, it's a straight shot, straight up, but you go through two different time zones.
It's so...
Indiana is eastern.
So weird.
Which makes sense. Doesn't make sense.
It's so, yeah.
Is this the time zone podcast? Am I on the right one?
Yep, that's what it is. Time zone. Time zone podcast.
We're in a new time zone.
The theme song is just a ticking clock. Like, that's all. Wait,
that's 60 minutes.
That's all.
You can't do that.
Oh, that's right. I thought I was being like super original with a new idea.
The ticking clock is copywritten by old people on 60 minutes.
By Andy Rooney. Someone said recently, don't you love it when people start a conversation with, someone said on Twitter, because it really doesn't matter. You know, like, no one cares.
You can just say somebody said.
Somebody said, actually, our mutual friend, Jason Windsor, said something about, stop asking me how cute your baby is. All babies look like Andy Rooney or something.
It's so true, though.
And I thought, oh, my word, that is 100% true. All babies are completely Andy Rooney until they're like a solid 3 months old.
Yeah, easily.
Just a bunch of Andys.
I heard a guy say once, that he saw a baby so fat, it looked like he had a job. And that made me laugh so hard. That's the funniest description.
I don't even know what that means.
I know, but that description, because he just looks like a...
like a big guy.
He was so chubby that he looked like a fully formed mental. And also, there's a comedian that has a Tommy John again. He has a joke where he said that a fat babies just look like John Goodman, but from far away.
Nice. Forced perspective.
Which is another description. All right.
Oh, my word. So now we've moved from the time zone podcast to the fat baby podcast.
All right. Fat baby podcast.
Now we'll move. We could sing Amy Grant's Fat Baby. Did you sing that song when you were like 8 years old?
What is that?
Amy Grant.
It's not Baby Baby, but.
No, not Baby Baby. It's called Fat Baby. It's called Fat Baby. Okay, now I need to come up with a song. It's like, He's just a fat, 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 fat little baby.
This isn't real.
Yeah, it's totally real. It's 100% real. She performed it live on a live VHS, a live concert VHS that I owned for years.
No.
And she had super frizzy hair and a black and white striped shirt and red pants. And Gary Chapman, she wasn't married to Gary Chapman yet, and he had a curly mullet. And they sang Fat Baby. And she did the thing with her hands, you know, where I don't know what it's called, but you know, when you bring your knees together and you like do your hands over it. So it looks like your hands are crossing your knees.
Like the Charleston.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
That's what they do in It's a Wonderful Life when they do with the Charleston. They do that.
They do the knee thing. Well, she did the knee thing while she was singing Fat Baby. I'm going to have to find this for you.
This is amazing. Is that why Christians boycotted her?
Probably. I don't know. When I was 8, I thought it was fly. I thought she was the coolest shit around.
A lot of stuff totally flew when you were 8 that are not cool now.
No, so many things.
Including everything having to do with Amy Grant.
Everything.
Fat Baby.
Although, you think
is this pre-Baby Baby?
Oh, way pre. Oh, this is pre, like, Lead Me On. I mean, this is pre. This was like first. This was like when El Shaddai was like a new song.
Oh, remember those days?
Remember those days.
When you heard those keyboard strings and you were just like, oh, something's about to happen. The Lord is about to speak.
She was my first concert.
Really?
Amy Grant was. Yeah.
My first concert was for him.
Nick!
Like we're the same person.
Nick! My first, okay, we are the same person. Okay, Nick, we're not going to talk about anything that we were going to talk about. It's fine.
That's important.
This is like a bonus episode. Okay, so... So I'm making a square with my fingers because everyone can see me. However long ago I got as my first CD player for my room, which was a big deal. You know, when you get like, oh my gosh, like my own CD player. And so my mom took me to the mall to buy my first CD.
Sam Goody, or what are we talking about? What store was it?
It was like a Christian bookstore, of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Because I was not cool enough.
Oh, yeah, we're the same person.
I was not cool enough to know that there was music that existed that was good that does not include Jesus in it. I didn't know this. True. So my first CD that I bought myself was For Him's first CD.
Yeah. Wait, first
their
one?
Their first one. We had it on an album, like a record.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, no. This is like a big moment and I need this as a CD. So yes, I bought the compact disc with the one with them in their Cosby sweaters with them all lined up.
I have that CD. I own it now. I have it now.
Have you listened? Okay. So a while back, my sister was stuck at my house during a snowstorm or something. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to open up iTunes and play samples of every single For Him song listed. It was one of those magical evenings of my entire life.
I have two questions. Number one, why was I not invited to this?
I didn't know you then. That's it. Number two,
what was hearing For Him now after having perspective and a lot of years what was that experience like?
That experience was something that I could probably write a book about. which reminds me of I Wanna Be a Man. You would write about. So we were listening to, we should just do the whole podcast in For Him lyrics because I remember every single lyric. Like I couldn't believe the song would start and it was like I became a different person and I knew like all the little like runs that they would do. Remember the guy who always sang hi? I don't know their names.
Of course.
But the guy who always sang hi.
There was
like
Joey, Johnny, DJ, Frank. I don't know.
But they all had curly mullets. That's all I remember.
Skip.
And super Cosby sweaters. But like, but there was one, like there was, it was really kind of interesting actually, because they were a little bit ahead of their time lyrically. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Explain. Maybe not in every single song, but maybe in this one particular song. In the song, I can't even remember the name, but it was like a, oh, this is falling so flat because I can't remember the name. I didn't do my For Him research because I didn't know this was going to happen.
Your For Search. My For Him search.
Your
Him search.
I didn't do my For Him search. So, but it was like songs, they were talking about like how we're getting all judgmental about things that we don't need to and that we just need to love each other. And like they really were kind of ahead of their time in that. It was really kind of a lovely thing.
I don't think they were. counter argument.
Maybe for that one song. I was like, good job, guys.
Can we please start a new podcast where we just go through Christian CDs and tapes we loved as a kid.
That would be amazing.
And we just
play something for me.
Oh, real. Oh yeah, girl.
Oh my gosh. This is too much. I can't take it. I wish I was wearing big headphones now. Every day I hear the people talking. They say they're taking a stand. This was my least favorite guy. That was my least favorite guy.
I'm trying to see. Guys. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's the one. That's the one. Yeah. I'm going to have to put a picture on the thing.
The guy with the leather jacket is fantastic. There's a guy on it with a leather jacket.
Which one had, was it the one with the dark, dark hair?
No, he's the one that looks like Corbin Burnson.
Right.
With a jacket.
That cat can sing. Like, his voice can move.
All right, new podcast. Let's cast the For Him movie.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, this would be, because we grew up at the same time.
I need you to pull up this picture, because this guy right here, this guy right here is Nathan. This is Nathan Fillion.
Uh-huh, totally. Yeah, it is. It is. He's Nathan.
This is Corbin Burnson.
I feel like the one in the purple cardigan.
Yeah, who is that going to be?
John C. Reilly?
Oh, maybe. That's a little bit of a left. I like that.
Yeah, maybe just can he sing? I don't know.
And then this guy right here.
And then the curly haired guy.
That's Zachary Quinto.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, we're going to have to put
just
this.
Just cast the For Him movie.
Oh my gosh.
This is the most specific. Most specific audience ever.
Okay, we should talk about what we were going to talk about for the love. But no joke. If I was not about to have a third child and didn't already have another podcast and a house and things to take care of, I would start this podcast with you.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be fun.
Pick an album or a band a week and we just, Point of Grace, we could do some. It would be amazing.
I saw them perform on the Dove Awards when they were nominated for Best New Artist. And I was Harmony Heaven, everybody. Where has this been all my life?
I don't want to name drop, but my dad is the reason that they're a group.
Shut up. Like, legitimately?
Yes, because...
Whoa!
Because, long story super short, because we're not here to talk about this.
Right, of course not.
But they grew up in Oklahoma, three of them. Uh-huh. And it was, my dad was the music minister at that church, and they were in high school wanting to go to college, and he was about to move to Arkansas to Ouachita Baptist University to work there, and he was like, you guys should come here and go to the school, and they did, and they met the fourth girl and then formed Point of Grace. So
origin story.
My dad would be played by Paul Giamatti in right. in the
every dad is played by Paul Giamatti every single dad.
whoever the guy who gets the band going, but then he ends up being evil,
right? That's totally Paul, terrible.
That's my dad in this movie.
Oh my gosh. Well, we might have to figure out a way where maybe we find a couple of days where we're like, I got an hour here, I got an hour here, I got an here.
I am
and
on
we just
board.
Record a mess of episodes and talk about all the albums. And then we release a season of Christian music.
I
we
have
to
never
go up
been
with
more on
I know,
board.
This is such a fun idea. Okay.
I've never, it's the Christian music recovery podcast.
It is.
We're in recovery from the
that's
being
what it is.
Raised on this stuff.
90% of the people listening right now are these people are idiots, and the other 10% are like, yes, please.
Well, it's just such a specific subculture.
It is.
We could do the whole, we could do McGee and Me. We could go straight into some, we could do some straight up 90s, 80s, 90s Christian subculture, pop culture stuff.
Did you listen to GT and the Halo Express?
No, but I knew who that was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel that maybe that's a good place to stop, because if we had both listened to GT and the Halo Express and we started singing songs and scripture verses as hip hop angels, then
I knew Salty. You know Salty?
Well, of course, we knew Salty. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is, I need a drink. I'm so overwhelmed by what just happened.
You're pregnant. You can't drink.
I know. I can't drink. It's so sad. Everything I want, this is what happens when you can't have something.
I know.
That's all you want. And so I can't have sushi. I can't have wine. Oh. And those Sushi's my favorite food, and wine, like, I drink sometimes, but now I'm like every day. I'm like, can I please have as all
soon
of
as
it?
You, yeah. As soon as you learn you can't have it, it's all you want.
It's the worst.
It's the Chick-fil-A Sunday syndrome.
Right. Totally. Totally. What do you guys want after church? Always chicken.
Even when I don't know it's Sunday, I'm like, you know what's else good? Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Oh,
oh
no.
Oh, yep. Can't do that. Okay. Well, let's talk about what we were officially going to talk about, which sadly I was super excited about and still am / I feel like it's going to be a letdown because of what just happened, but that's okay.
There is a 90% chance that you and I only enjoyed the first 20 minutes.
It might not even make it. I might not even keep it.
No, you have to. It's beautiful.
It's fun. It's wonderful. Okay. So first thing I'm going to ask you before we get to our topic for today.
Okay.
So this is the Lazy Genius podcast. You are Nick Flora, mm-hmm. and you are my guest on, mm-hmm. you are actually the first person I'm interviewing for this podcast, by the way. So this is super fun. Wow. I know, right? So I want to ask you.
I prefer co-host, but that's fine.
That's fine.
I'll be your guest.
I know. No, I can do co-host. What do you call a co-host when you have one, a different one every week? A guest co-host? A guest host?
Yeah, that could be a guest co-host. Because you gave me, I feel like an interview is sort of like, I don't know what to expect, but you gave me stuff to prep for, and I feel like that's, we're steering the ship together, Kendra.
Teammates. Got it.
There you go.
Okay, so you're my teammate. You're my first
co-teammate. I'm your Lazy Genius guest co-host.
So can you, the idea behind this podcast in general is that we want to help people be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. and that can run quite a gamut, which is my favorite thing.
Right.
But let me ask you, in your life, where are you a lazy genius? Like, what's something that you used to be like, other than Christian music, what's something that you used to be like super obsessed about and you were trying to be a genius at? And then you were like, wait a minute, why am I wasting my time? What is going on?
There are two things. One leads into my career, which is a musician, which is being creative. But I used to really, really want to be Jim Davis or Gary Larson, who drew like comics.
Right.
Like, I was obsessed with The Far Side and Calvin and Hobbes. Like, I wanted to do that. But that's sort of like that. I can easily say that led into, I gave that up, drawing and everything, because when I found that music was more my speed. But honestly, I thought I was going to be a baseball player. I was obsessed until I was like, from age 5 to 15, which is 10 years for you math majors out there.
Right.
And that's what I thought I was going to be. I was convinced. And I remember like being in my dad built me this whole rig so I could pitch to like a, you know, in a net, and it would bounce back and go back to me. So I didn't have to have a friend because I didn't have a lot of them.
Paul Giamatti is on top of things.
Oh, Paul Giamatti was good. And he was sitting at the window like, I'm going to reap the benefits of this one day. And then it didn't happen.
So were you good? Were you good at baseball, or were you good for a 12 year old?
I was pretty good for like a 12 year old.
Okay.
But then once it got into like, you know, high school or junior high, like when it got really competitive,
yeah,
I was like, oh no, this is very bad. It's like when somebody tries out on American Idol and they're like, you know what, that was really good. Mm-hmm. I never heard Leanne Rimes's Blue sound like that. Mm-hmm. And then they're actually up there having to sing for millions of people and being coached by Usher or whoever.
So weird.
And you're like, oh, this person isn't very good.
Yeah, they're not very good.
They're good for like, you know, Dubuque, Iowa.
Do you remember in season one of American Idol, which I watched religiously every week, Jim, the guy whose parents were they blind?
Oh, yes.
He was terrible.
Oh my
gosh. If you go back and listen to videos or like of him singing,
yeah,
he's like a bad wedding. Like, he's so bad. I don't even understand. He was like number 6, I think.
Yeah.
They got voted off. Nobody can beat Kelly, though. Nobody.
That first season, they used to replay. Remember the TV Guide channel? That doesn't exist anymore.
I do.
But before, everything was on DVR, and you can look at every, you know, every cable provider now comes with its own TV Guide.
Totally.
There was a TV Guide channel, and I remember a couple years ago, they replayed the first season of American Idol. Like,
in clips in a row. Right, remember that, yeah.
And it's amazing how bad a lot of those people are, because they didn't know what the show was.
Right.
Yet. That's why Kelly Clarkson, who is amazing.
Amazing.
But that's why she stuck out so much, because she
was good.
You know who almost won that? Justin Guarini.
Although he is, I follow him on Twitter. He's a funny dude.
He's a funny guy.
And we need to blow everyone's minds here for a quick second. Do you know that he is The Dr. Pepper guy, Lil Sweet.
Wait, what?
That's Justin Guarini, everyone. I'm 100% serious.
You know what? Good for him.
I know, right? He's leaning into it. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to try to be serious. I'm Justin Guarini. I'm just going to be a little sweet for Dr.
Like
Pepper.
That. See, that's why I see if I was Sanjaya or somebody like that.
Sanjaya.
That's what I would
do.
That's what I would do. I would be like, you know what? I'm effing Sanjaya. This is my life. This is what I'm going
to. It is.
You know, I feel like William Hung did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going back to I was really into American Idol. It was like my Bachelor before the Bachelor got here, where people hate watched that kind of
thing,
you know.
Right.
But I watched it and I was like, I kind of loved it.
Yeah.
But this is so far from where we were.
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Were you good at baseball?
That was my thing. I was pretty good. I was good at baseball until I wasn't, and then right. I was like, I got to find something else. This is just. And it was heart. I mean, it's heartbreaking for me to say I'm not going to do this anymore. But then I found Church Softball League. And the best person in actual baseball, or the worst person in actual baseball, is the best person.
Church softball.
Because Nancy, the secretary of the church, plays for the league
right.
and your team, and she's terrible.
Right, so you're going to be just so fine.
I was like all-star. So, that you know, that's what you got to do. You got to, any of you people out there, you got to find the thing that you're like pretty good at, and then find people who are worse who are trying to do that thing. And
then
you're,
join them.
You're amazing. You're amazing at it.
I kept score for the church softball league. I didn't play, but I kept score. So I colored in the little bases, and that was super fun.
Did you get to play like for him music in between the innings?
Oh my word. I wasn't in charge of that. I just remember eating Fun Dip and being 12 and crushing on like 40-year-old plumbers because I didn't really know what else was happening. Like I kept score, I ate Fun Dip, and I was like, he's super cute. Wonder what he's up to later. Except he's 40.
Please write a memoir called Fun Dip. Wait, what was the second thing?
Just keeping score. And then the 40-year-old plumbers. Yeah.
Having a crush on 40-year-old plumbers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
In my really good late 80s, early 90s fashion.
Yeah.
I was on top of it.
In my mind, you're wearing the Charlotte Hornets earrings.
100%.
It was a
Carolina Panthers extra large t-shirt with the sleeves rolled up a million times. Tucked into white denim shorts that were also rolled up I'm pretty sure they were pleated, like they had to be, right? It was like 1990, they had to be pleated.
And how then, are you not on the cover of every fashion magazine in the 90s?
And my black Reeboks, that's what should have put me there. It was all that white
black
Reeboks. So it was like. And I'm not, I mean, you know, you've seen me in I'm not an olive skinned person.
I would never describe you that way.
No, I'm not at all. So like that kind of outfit really does not make someone like me look like a healthy human being. So it's just bad. But yeah, I just ate all the Fun Dip. I was the same color as the Fun Dip stick. Is what I was. So there's that.
An amazing image.
I know. So good. Okay.
I will say that when you first asked that question,
and
I think about in my life that I'm terrible at like getting my oil changed. Like that's what I'm lazy about.
Right.
Like I will put that kind of stuff off forever, but I will not rest until I've seen, you know, every episode of Making a Murderer.
Right.
Like that's like, it's the weirdest. I don't have my priorities in line.
Or you do.
Depending on who you ask.
Depending on who you ask.
I think I'm doing great, but when tax season comes around.
The taxes you might want to pay attention to. The oil, it's like, I mean, your car's going to stop and then you'll fix it. Like, it's fine.
I always just think that the little sticker they put on the oil change is like, it's like a suggestion.
It's a suggestion, totally.
It's like the date on the cheese. Yeah, like, it's probably fine.
Probably fine. Just scrape off the green part and underneath is totally good.
It. Yeah. Just eat around.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are the reason I wanted you to be on for this particular episode. I got this question from a reader named Melissa.
What up, Melissa?
Hi, Melissa. I'm gonna go back to that voice. Hi, Melissa.
You just turned into like Napoleon Dynamite's brother.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so here's her question. She says, "Here's the deal. I don't really watch television."
Oh no. Sorry, Melissa. You're out.
I thought that at first too, but she writes really well and she's funny. And so that makes me think that she is not one of those people. So here's what she says next. That was the thing that had to go to make room in my life for creative stuff. And I'm totally cool with the trade-off. And that's fine. To each his own. I'm not going to begrudge anyone for making room in their lives for what makes them happy.
Sure.
She says, but it means that sometimes everyone else is talking about the thing they're watching that is the best show ever, and I can't really follow along. So here's what she wants us to do. She wants us to create a television summary of shows. What I really need to know to pretend I know more than I do.
Oh, so does she want talking points that she can spit out?
Well, I don't know that she wants talking points. I think, because here's what happened to her. She said that someone was talking about an episode of Downton Abbey, and she actually thought it was a show about someone named Abby.
Well, that's just embarrassing.
Right.
You can have a general knowledge without watching anything.
Exactly. And so that's what
it's called a subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
That's what. But then she has to read. She might as well watch the show if she has to read a magazine.
They're like two paragraphs each.
I know.
They're so short.
But see, we're going to make it even shorter.
Okay,
so
let's do it.
We're just going to steam through some shows. And so this could be for people who maybe they do watch television, but like there are certain shows that they just don't have time for. They can max three shows and then they're done. And so we are going to give just the basic overview so you don't feel like an idiot when someone is talking about Mr. Robot and you think it's like an Inspector Gadget remake, which it is not. So
that's a shame.
It is a shame. So this is our plan. You ready?
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so we've got a couple categories here. We have to kind of give homage is not the right word because I don't particularly like these shows, but there are popular shows that neither of us really watch.
Right.
But we understand that they are totally part of American culture.
Yeah,
and
we need to
give them their due. Number one, Big Bang Theory.
Okay. So can I reference other shows when I'm referencing these shows? Because that's all my reference points are other television. Like if I say this actor was in, you know, this actor from so-and-so.
Totally.
Are they going to know what that is?
If they don't, then that's okay. Some will, some won't. I just
need to know my guidelines.
Write it out. Go for it. I will stop you. I have like a horn if you say wrong things.
Big Bang Theory is essentially, I mean, I want to make fun of this stuff, so it's really hard.
We have to be careful to not do that because some people love these shows.
I want to be condescending.
I know.
What I want to say is it's what America thinks nerds are. It's like, okay, four stereotypes live next to a fifth stereotype.
Right. It is very stereotypical. It is.
So stereotypical. I am a self-proclaimed nerd myself, and I don't like this show because for the same way that like musicians don't like watching the show Nashville because you're like, that's not real.
Right. Right.
But. You know what I mean? So,
totally.
But we're not here to do this.
No, we're not. So Big Bang Theory is it's two guys and then their friends are always there. Do all four of them live together?
I've seen like 10 seconds of the show at a time. I've never seen a whole episode because I don't really know the dynamic.
I've seen a whole episode because I wanted to make sure that I was giving it its due before I said, nope, this is not my scene.
Yeah.
And I was correct. I wanted to be respectful of the show. So I did watch one episode. It's just not my favorite. Part of it is I don't like multicam comedies. I don't like audience laughing. They're so hard to get behind now.
As soon as Friends was over, I was done.
It was done. Yeah.
Done.
That was it.
They buried it.
That's the only one that could do it.
It's four nerds who dress like Muppets.
Totally.
They all dress like Bert and Ernie.
And then a hot blonde. Really colorful,
and then a hot one.
A hot blonde moves in across the hallway, an apartment across the hallway. Right?
Right. And then hilarity ensues.
Right. And she's like.
Hilarity in quotes.
She's like dumb, but social. And they are awkward around her. And
they need each other.
They need each other. They do need each other.
Because she needs to be a three-dimensional person, I guess.
Right, I guess so. That's what you have to do.
Maybe she needs like a crossword puzzle done. I don't really know why she needs them, but they use her to sort of be acclimated to society.
Right. And vice versa.
Beyond Star Trek references.
Right. So, and this is the one with Sheldon. So everybody will talk about Sheldon. And doesn't he has like things he says, right? Is he the Bazinga guy? Bazinga. Yes. So if you hear someone talk about Sheldon or say Bazinga, Big Bang Theory, that's what they're talking about.
And you can get cool cred points by saying that Johnny Galecki was in Roseanne as the boyfriend.
He
was Darlene's boyfriend in Roseanne.
I totally forgot about that.
He just looks like he doesn't age.
Right.
It's crazy.
He's the same.
So you can say like, I really like how Johnny Galecki's getting a lot of work after Roseanne.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just trying to help.
I think that's really good. I feel like that sums up Big Bang Theory pretty well.
Yeah. Well, there is no depth to it. So
seems like there's not. But how do you say the Blossom Girl's name?
Mayim Bialik.
Mayim Bialik. She's like actually a brilliant nerd. She's like, yes. She's like a nuclear physicist or something.
She is. She has actual nerd credentials.
Yeah. So, but she's in it, and like, they all have girlfriends now. I guess that has to happen once really? You've been on. I think they like, yeah, I think they all have girlfriends.
Is one of them with the blonde girl?
Yes. That's, Johnny Galecki. I feel like Johnny Galecki's with a blonde girl.
I don't like it.
I think I'm pretty sure they might have just gotten married.
In the show?
In the show.
In the show. I don't want to watch it anymore.
If anybody gets married, it's over.
I don't want to see like people who work, unless it's Chandler and Monica. I don't really want to see them work, like see how they're going to be a newlywed couple.
Unless we're going to segue, okay, in a way that we didn't plan, to an old favorite, Parenthood. Unless it's Parenthood.
Oh yeah, well that's the point of that show though.
They're already married.
The point of that show is like, how does this family blossom with every change that comes its way?
Right.
It's not, let's see four nerds, you know, get girlfriends. Like, right. That's uninteresting to me.
Right. So if you are at work and you walk past a coworker's desk and she's crying and saying something about like Sarah, she's crying over Sarah. You can, what's the blonde Christina? Oh my word. Christina.
Yeah.
So like, if you just hear like Sarah or Christina, or especially if anybody starts talking about Adam Braverman, because he is the person that you want to be your dad, your husband, your brother, your boss, your neighbor, all of them. It's so awkward. He's like the Stanley Tucci. He and Stanley Tucci fit in that category where you don't quite know how to approach them.
I'm on board with the Stanley Tucci. I have a love-hate relationship with Adam Braverman, though.
Really? What is because the hate part?
Sometimes I feel like he's a little bit overbearing. I enjoy that he plays, because Peter Krause is a really cool guy as an actor and everything. I've seen him at other things where he's like really cool. And he does do the nerd dad really well, where he's trying to dance and he's really nerdy. And totally. it's very endearing. But sometimes I feel like I just need him to chill out a little bit. That's why my go-to in those all, like boyfriend, husband, whatever you said, brother,
right, cousin, plumber, tax accountant, all of the,
I don't know,
things,
all
yeah,
that, I is Joel. Joel is my rock.
Yeah, Joel is everything. He should like be everyone's rock.
Joel is who I want to be in life. Right. Like I look for him for fashion choices. I want to call that. I want to tweet that actor and ask him his like workout regimen. I'm right. Like, I want to be Joel. Like Joel's my rock.
He's amazing. Totally.
He's supportive and selfless, and he's an amazing dad and so accepting. And you know, they had some rocky stuff, but you know, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? So, who doesn't get drunk and go into a supermarket and just eat a cake in the middle of the grocery store? Who doesn't do that sometimes?
Wait, Joel did that?
He did.
What season is that?
That was towards the end when he and Julia weren't doing so well after he had dinner with the boss, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, and they kept having with Penny from Lost. He had drinks with Penny from Lost.
Penny. So somebody's crying about
the Bravermans. That's Parenthood, and that's what a show. That's,
how would we
right
get this person to
stop crying,
to communicate with this?
You could just say like, it's just so real, isn't it? And then walk away, and they're going to feel understood.
May God bless and keep you always.
Yeah. And you're going to be okay.
Like, I was trying to quote the theme song and now I'm like, wait a second. What is it? May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others what others do for you. And they'll turn around and just hug you because that song
that's all they need. That's all
so
they
much
need.
Emotion.
And you can also say, oh, here's another thing, is you can say, isn't it great though that Lauren Graham and Peter Krause are together in real life? Like that can give them hope past, because the show is over.
Siblings.
Right. They did play siblings on TV.
If they're crying about the show being over for sure.
Yeah, that's something you can give them.
Yeah, they're a family.
They're still family. It's good things. Okay, so that's a show that people still talk about, even though it's not on the air anymore.
It's so good.
Okay, so we have to go faster. So let's go back to popular shows we don't watch.
Yes.
Okay, so you said you tried Scandal. I don't watch Scandal. You said you tried it, but you don't watch it anymore, correct?
I gave it two or three seasons, and then when the season came back around, like I was just not interested anymore.
Got it. Well, I feel like you're not quite the demographic for Scandal. I could be
I'm
wrong.
Not, but I also, I really need, I feel like here's the thing with, and I don't want to crap on these shows that are really popular because I know they serve a purpose, because as much as I feel like we watch a lot of really good television. There is television out there that serves the purpose of you can turn your brain off and watch it.
100%.
And you can know it's ridiculous while you're watching it. And that's what I feel like a lot of people are like. My parents, they enjoy a lot of these shows. I have friends that are like, you know what? I like Big Bang Theory at the end of the day because I know what's going to happen. Uh-huh. I don't have to overthink it. I can laugh. Yeah. I can laugh at the dumb jokes, and it makes the animal part of my brain, the caveman part, happy. And because I don't have to like think, okay, what's Walter White doing now?
Right.
And I get that because I have those shows too. And mm-hmm. for me, I needed one of those, and Scandal fit the profile. And it was one of those where I was just like, this is so dumb. Next episode.
Right.
That would never happen. Next episode.
100%.
But I feel like when you binge on a candy like this, when you binge on cotton candy or like Skittles for too long, right. which is what Scandal is.
Right.
You start getting to the point where you're like, I need to go for a jog and eat a freaking
right.
salad.
Totally.
And that's what a lot of these other shows, I feel like, that are a little bit deeper are. So I always equate it to food. So I understand why people always go, like, they love and Scandal is, like, their show.
Right.
Especially if they have a really stressful job or a life that they just need to shut down. And they need to watch their stories.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
So I am not the demographic for it. But it fit. I was sick one weekend and I just watched Scandal a lot. Because I was like, I need something that isn't going to make me, like, have make me move off the couch.
Yeah, you do not need a visceral reaction when you're sick.
No, something like Breaking Bad or Fargo or something that has like, you're just clenched the whole time because
right.
you're so
that's not helpful.
Scandal is essentially all people need to know for Scandal is there's a woman who fixes problems in Washington and her name is Washington.
That's and, right. Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. But she fixes all these scandals and that's basically it. It essentially in the first 5 minutes tells you everything you need to know about it.
Her name is Olivia Pope.
Olivia Pope.
Her clothes are baller. She has an excellent wardrobe.
She has never been seen eating anything but popcorn and wine.
Right.
That's the true statement. She only eats that. Which is why she's so skinny, I guess.
So does she? And doesn't she say things like "I'll handle it" or yes. "I'll"? Right. That's like her thing. So if you hear someone like I feel like I hear a lot of people pull an Olivia Pope and they're like, "I'll handle it,"
yes.
like as a joke. And then, but like, if you don't watch Scandal and you don't understand, and someone says that to you in that voice and you don't know they're joking, it's yeah. a little threatening. It's like,
or
what
if they
is
say
happening?
Like something goes down at work and they say, "We need Olivia Pope on this."
Right. That's or what we she's
need
talking
to,
about.
Or use it as a verb. We need to Olivia Pope this. It means they're going to get stuff done. For some reason, she has like a Mary Poppins bag of tricks and contacts and people. And at the 42-minute mark of every episode, she's going to pull something out of the bag.
It's fixed.
And she's going to fix it. And it is a procedural in that way. But also, she has her own flaws, which we're supposed to believe are hidden, but like everybody knows about them.
Right.
So it's almost like she's like the child that's overly excited about being, you know, really great at piano, but she's not very good at it in some ways. Because she will say, everybody's like, "Oh, Olivia Pope is amazing. We'll get her on the phone." But she's also sometimes not great at her job.
Nice.
And she also is sleeping with the president. We didn't say that.
Right. That feels like an important plot point.
And they're on again, off again. And sometimes people find out and it gets bad. And then she has to Olivia Pope herself.
Right.
So that's all you need to know. It's the same thing over and over again. Every season is the same thing.
Right.
And she has daddy issues, which, you know, join the club.
Every flawed heroine does.
Every Shonda Rhimes character does.
Every single one. Okay, so one more popular, speaking of Shonda, is Grey's Anatomy, because you'll hear people say, yes. "Grey's, did you see Grey's? Did you see Grey's?" I think the thing I realized, because I have a friend who watches Grey's. My sister watches Grey's. It's one of those, like, they watched it from the beginning. It's like, you kind of have to ride it out at this point. You've invested so much. You might as well keep finishing.
Do you?
Well, you know, to each his own. It's totally fine. Yes. But like, so it's in a hospital. Like, they're all doctors. Gray, it's Meredith Gray. She's like the lead person. But everybody that I know from that show mentally, like if you run through the Rolodex of characters that you know of Gray's, did you know they're like all dead? They're either all dead or all gone except for Meredith and like one other doctor. Yeah.
Is McDreamy dead?
McDreamy's dead.
Are you serious?
McDreamy's dead. Uh-huh. Yeah, he died like last season or something.
I only know reference points from like the first few seasons.
Exactly. And like we obviously Katherine Heigl is gone because she's taken the movie industry by storm.
She is crushing it in the direct-to-DVD
sales. Crushing it. and then like the little guy who looks like a hobbit.
George.
he is gone. I think he died. I don't know. Like, a lot of people are gone.
I know. Wait, is he gay on the show or in real life?
I think he's both. No, I don't think he's gay on the show, because I feel like he and one of the girls had a thing.
Oh, he was in love with Katherine Heigl.
I think so. And then they're both gone. Anyway, the point is, I feel like Grey's is, it's on its end, right? I mean, have they said when it's going to be over?
It'll never end.
It'll never end. That's...
Unless Ellen Pompeo, who is Meredith, right, has a film career, she's set at this point.
Well,
but they wanted it to be ER. It's like a sexier ER.
Right. Don't even try it. Don't even try to make ER different than what it is. This is uncalled for.
Yeah, ER, don't mess with the formula of ER.
Don't mess with it. ER is everything. But if you hear someone talking about Grays, you need to know Meredith Grey is the Gray, and then pretty much everyone's dead, and she just lost McDreamy. So yes, you can like pat someone on the back. I'm so sorry about McDreamy.
Can you believe about McDreamy? That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
And then they will talk the rest of the time.
And it may even be like you could say like, oh, but what if they're in season 3 and he hasn't died yet? If you say, can you believe it about McDreamy? They'll have an answer.
Because something's
always going on
with him.
There's something going on. You're going to be fine. Okay, so let's get to popular shows that we do watch.
My favorite.
We have 3 that we both watch that a lot of people watch.
Right.
One has been off the air, but is coming back on to Netflix, Gilmore Girls. Mm. All the praise, hands. We get some more Gilmore Girls.
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Recently, I was driving the middle school carpool, and the 2 eighth graders were talking about how they had to take a foreign language in high school next year. One of them said, man, why do we have to take a class? Can't we just use Rosetta Stone? That thing works great. And while I tend to stay quiet during carpool, I did pipe up from the front. It really is, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It is available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Lazy Genius podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/genius. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/genius today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am a big time verbal processor. Sometimes I don't know what I actually think about a situation until I say it out loud. And while I have lots of kind and trustworthy relationships in my life, there is one place that always feels safe no matter what I need to say, and that's when I'm talking to my therapist. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/thelazygenius today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thelazygenius. This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Hosting the show and running the Lazy Genius Collective is very much a full-time job squeezed into part-time hours. Thankfully, I have found some ways to Lazy Genius my work, including using Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can secure a domain, create a site with the all-new guided Squarespace blueprint, and activate easy-to-use payment tools all in one spot. And with Squarespace AI and integrated optimized SEO tools, you can polish what you want to say and get it in front of your people. My team and I just revamped our Squarespace site at the beginning of the year, and I'm still obsessed. It not only looks great, it's easy to navigate as a visitor and as an admin. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/lazygenius to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode is sponsored by Olive & June.
I found Olive in June in 2020 when we were all looking for new hobbies and things to do. Well, now almost 4 years later, doing my nails at home with my daughter Annie and Olive and June's Manny system is still one of the things I look forward to every week. Olive and June makes it easy to get a salon-worthy manicure from the comfort of your home. The Manny system has everything you need in one box, salon-grade tools designed just for DIY, and your choice of 6 polish colors. And y'all, the colors they make are stunning. Annie and I just tried out their new colors for Valentine's Day. I'm wearing Love Note, a sparkly nude that matches my skin tone, and Annie is wearing Bouquet, a shimmery pink that matches her personality. Plus, Olive and June's polish is chip-resistant and lasts for 7 days. Visit oliveandjune.com/lazygenius for 20% off your first Manny system. That's oliveandjune.com/lazygenius for 20% off your first Manny system.
How do you, let me ask you this really fast though. How do you feel about the fact that Melissa McCarthy has not signed on to come back?
Kendra, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not happy about it.
Right.
This bothers me because she is such an integral part of the show. It bothers me more that she wasn't asked. That's what she has said. Because there was a whole thing where Amy Sherman-Palladino, who's the creator, said, you know, we just couldn't fit everybody in and blah, blah, blah. And then Melissa McCarthy tweeted, hey, everybody stop tweeting at me. I wasn't even asked to be a part of it. I wish them all the best of luck. And that's what breaks my heart. Like, why wouldn't you try to, like, it seems from a business standpoint, one of the biggest movie stars right now, put her in the show.
She said
she would have loved to do it, but that just wasn't asked. And that's how it works sometimes.
Like, Jackson is going to be in it. Like, her husband, her television husband, Jackson, is going to be in it. Why would you have Jackson and not Suki?
I would be fine with, like, Jackson Skyping in and Suki being at the whole thing. Like, I don't need Jackson stressing out over
his cabbage. I don't need, like, it doesn't matter.
Over his zucchini. Right. I don't need him. As much as I love every quirky character on that show, Jackson stresses me out.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's what you need to know about Gilmore Girls. Everybody is quirky. Everybody. There's not a single character without quirk.
Never.
But they're all super, super likable and lovable. But it's they live in Stars Hollow, which is this little town in Connecticut. Yeah. Everyone's quirky. It's the kind of place you're like, I would love to live there, but really we would all hate living there. Like, do you want everyone to know your business all the time? I don't think so.
You also wouldn't be able to get your job done because everybody that's trying to do their job keeps getting interrupted by 100%. The quirks. In that town.
There's so many quirks.
You know, I have a Gilmore Girls theory that I would love to make happen and I think you would be on board with.
Let me hear it.
I want the end of this series to be, this new series, I want it to pan up and we see Stars Hollow as a whole to finally get a view of this town, bird's eye view. It goes back a little bit more and it's the island from Lost. Because that would explain why they're all just a little bit insane.
That sounds amazing. Just have like the last, you think it's the last shot. It's like Lou. Okay, so it's Lorelai, the character Lorelai and Rory. It's a mother who had a daughter when she was 16, and so they're like best friends, really, not as much mother and daughter. And then Lorelai's parents are like rich and snobby and judgmental. And then Rory goes through a series of boyfriends, and so does Lorelai, and all the things. So it's like it's kind of predictable in a way. It's like a quirky soap opera. It's so lovely.
It's like a warm blanket.
Oh, it is. It's the best. It's the best.
You are friends with these people.
Oh, 100%. But like, wouldn't it be great if you think the show's over and it's like Lorelai and Rory, like at Luke's having pancakes, and then all of a sudden Sawyer walks by. And then it pans up and you're like, wait, what's happening? What's happening? Blow everyone's mind. Right. Okay, so that's Gilmore Girls, you just need to know everyone's quirky. So if anyone is talking about a Gilmore Girls character, it's not going to sound normal. You just need to be prepared that it's not going to sound like a normal person.
All you need to say, memorize this sentence. Oi with the poodles already.
Oi with the poodles already.
Just say that. Memorize it, write it on your hand, say it to somebody, and they will hug you. They're so excited.
Or if you don't have a memory to contain that many words, copper boom.
Copper boom.
Copper boom. You can also say, just walk it. If someone's talking about Gilmore Girls, just go over and be like, copper
also,
boom, and leave.
Because this happens to me a lot because I'm not a big sports fan. And so I have a lot of people who feed me lines about what's going on and reference points. So I'm going to do that to this person now. Uh-huh. All you need to say, if you feel caught in a Gilmore conversation, all you have to say or post on Facebook or, you know, in the comment thread or whatever is, wouldn't you love to eat the way Rory and Lorelai do and never, gain,
never
weight?
Gain weight?
Because they don't. And they eat amazing, horrible food.
Horrible food all the time.
It always looks great. And they don't gain a pound.
Like the healthiest thing they eat are like Tostitos pizza rolls. Or yeah, Tostitos pizza rolls.
By
like
far. That's,
it's like freezer food. It's so funny.
It's amazing.
The Gilmore Girls is coming back for four 90-minute episodes that are correspond with the seasons. So it's going to go through like one full year.
Which is great because Gilmore Girls is I feel like, does seasons really well.
So it's well. Very,
yeah.
The snow episodes in Gilmore Girls are just wonderful. So good. Okay, so another show that we both watch is The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Okay, here is what you say, because I think most people know that The Walking Dead is about zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what you say. But it's not really, though. That's what
it's
you say.
It's about the survivors.
It's about the story. It's about the people. It's about the lives. The zombies, it's just a setting. Just like ER, the setting is just a hospital. Just like
Lost.
It's
not about a hospital.
It's not about a hospital. Just like Lost. Well, Lost is a little bit about the island. But at first, it wasn't about being like stranded on an island. It was about the people. That's what you say about Walking Dead. And then you like drop the mic and walk away. You don't need to know anything else.
No.
And you can say...
And all you have to say, you're Oi with the Poodles line... Just all you have to say is they better not touch Daryl.
They better not touch Daryl. They.
That's all you have to say. Just if they touch Daryl, I'm out.
Yeah.
And everybody will ever, you'll be the, you're going to be elected mayor of your office.
So
everybody's going to be like, yes.
Are you as attracted to him as I am?
He's the best. Yes.
Like, he's amazing.
He is my Joel of that show.
Right. Every show has a Joel Daryl. Yeah. He's so good. Although here's the thing is I also am a little. They better not touch Glenn. And they're totally going to touch Glenn. Like, it's inevitable. Like Glenn's, he's going to die, right?
Are you caught up at all?
I'm 100% caught up.
Okay. I don't think they're going to touch Glenn because they messed with us with that. For a while. I think he's safe for a while because they messed with us.
I think he will not be in next season.
Okay.
That's my prediction. And I'm going to cry.
I'll mentally prepare myself.
I'm going to cry about it a lot.
It's a weird show that makes you love characters and also makes you at the same time sort of pull back a little bit. You detach yourself at the same time because you're like, okay, am I going to be okay if this is how it goes down? You know, if we lose, because it's similar to a Game of Thrones, which I think we're about to discuss.
We are.
Which I don't watch, but like apparently don't get attached to anybody.
Because people can die at any moment, and they do.
Yeah. That's just the reality of the show.
It's just what happens. And so, yeah, I feel like Glenn's going to go, which is hard for me because I'm basically married to Glenn. Like,
you
my husband is
Glenn.
Like, he's straight up Glenn.
Not to wait, you have to tell me a characteristic that is not just the Asian thing.
Oh, there's so
like
many
Glenn
things.
Because I feel very racist to be like, yeah, he is.
Because he's Asian. They're only from different countries.
That's
but
like
it's
me
fine.
Saying, like, you're like Maggie because you're white and a girl.
Right. Oh my gosh. Kaz and I need to go as Glenn and Maggie for Halloween. Why have we never done this before? Why have we never done this before? I can't even believe this.
And have your kids be baby walkers.
I can't believe that this has not happened. Someone invite me to a Halloween party, please, so I can go as Glenn and Maggie because that is happening.
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. He's my husband is like how Glenn is the hope of the show. You know, he's the heart of the show. Like, he always believes the best in people. That's totally my husband. My husband's a middle school counselor.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, you kind of have to see the good in people to be a middle school counselor.
That's very true.
So, but yeah, he's Glenn. And so when Glenn dies, I told Kaz, I was like, okay, I think he's going to die soon. And I need you to understand, I'm going to shed so many tears. Please don't look at me judgmentally.
I'm gonna
because
mourn
it's
your
going
death.
To happen. Okay, so let's hit on Game of Thrones real fast.
Yeah.
Neither of us watch it.
No.
I tried. Did you try?
I did too. Yeah.
I consider myself a pretty I can go to some dark places.
And you're a fantasy person too.
I do. I really love fantasy. I love like kind
I'm
of
not a big fantasy
thing.
Person, but it seems like if you're into fantasy, you'd be
yeah,
into this.
Yeah. So because it is, it's like it's all these kingdoms and there are dragons and torture and incest and all these things and I like,
all the things you're into
all the things I'm into but like I just couldn't there was no one to root for Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't find any trace, in, except for, like, a couple of characters. And anytime a character is good on Game of Thrones, they die. And so I couldn't really find any kind of ounce of redemption to balance out all of the depravity that you see in that show. Yeah. I didn't feel good about myself. I don't mean, like, how dare you watch the show? It was more like, I just felt like, ooh, like a salad. Like, I needed, except it was like, I was eating, like, old peanut butter and it was like sticking in my mouth and I'm like,
this isn't worth it. As much as I like peanut butter normally, it wasn't good.
It just wasn't worth it. So, but I know a lot of people, obviously people love Game of Thrones, love Game of Thrones. So here are two things I'm going to offer for people who hear Game of Thrones talking, people talking about it. One is, if you're talking to someone who's like, you know, I kind of said what I just did. Like, I really want to like it. Like, there's a lot about it that I really want to like. Suggest Vikings. Suggest to them the show Vikings. You don't have to know anything about it, but Vikings is kind of the tamer cousin of Game of Thrones. It's not fantastical, but it's like Norse mythology type stuff. It's the story of Ragnar Lothbrok, who is a descendant of Odin. So it's like super violent. It's still really violent, and there's still like it. It kind of feeds the same hunger.
Yeah.
It's just not as gross.
What is Vikings on? What?
It's on the History Channel, believe it or not.
There you go. I do believe it. That sounds like it should be on the History Channel.
It's on the History Channel. Season 4 just started last week.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. There are 4 seasons of Vikings?
There are 3 seasons. They're on Hulu and Amazon Prime. Wow. And then the 4th season just started. And if you have like Apple TV or even a Roku, you can get the History Channel app.
Yeah.
And they have the shows there. Yep.
How is this helping people if they're stuck in a Game of Thrones conversation though?
If the person is like, I really want to like Game of Thrones, I just can't do it anymore. Oh, you are giving them a lifeline. Say, why don't you try Vikings instead? Why don't you try Vikings? I feel like that would be a good thing. What's something that you would say to if you're stuck in a Game of Thrones conversation?
Walk the other way.
Just get out.
I've never felt more judgment as a TV. I am an avid TV lover and have been for a decade at least. And, you know, and I feel so judged when I tell people who love Game of Thrones that I don't watch it.
I know.
But I feel like it's a very specific type of show though. And even people who love it, who are like 3 seasons in, they can't, because my big thing is like, I watched 4 episodes and I still didn't know people's names. And they're like, oh, I'm 4 seasons in and I still don't know people's names. And I'm like, well, I can't
do that.
And they're like, yeah, I have to watch it with Wikipedia open, or I have to watch it with, and I'm like, this, I don't want a homework assignment. Right. Like, I want to like sit back and know the world that I'm entering into.
It is the absolute opposite of Scandal. Like, you have to do work.
You have
to keep up with it.
And I feel like Lost was that way too, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed that though. But also, if you wanted to have a soap opera-y thing, you could watch Lost and also enjoy it because there were like romance stuff happening.
Well, and they had names like Jack and Kate. You can remember and pronounce those names.
Not like names like Khaleesi.
Yeah, like I don't know what they are. Yeah, there's, and isn't that, that's not even like her full name. It's like Daenerys or something. She rides a dragon. That's all I know. I don't know. She raises them.
All you have to know if you want to fit in is just be like, don't, or if somebody references like, This business meeting is going to be a red wedding.
Red wedding is the thing, because that was like it's a slaughter. If someone says something's a red wedding, then please run for cover.
Let's red wedding this PowerPoint presentation.
Right, that means it's going to be a slaughter.
I obviously haven't worked in an office ever.
I love how everything we have referenced is office conversation, and neither of us work in offices.
Never. I never have, and I wouldn't fit there at all.
I worked in an office for 1.5 years, but it was at a church, so I feel like that wouldn't come up as much.
In my mind, the scenarios are like, you know, in the break room or whatever with your coworker
when you're getting your coffee and your crackers, right?
But these are things that people reference all the time.
They are,
especially like a show like The Office or whatever, like a lot of references happen, and I feel like a lot of stuff, if you don't have a base knowledge of what it is, will make you feel so dumb.
The other thing you can say about Game of Thrones is you can be like, Jon Snow, right? And it's the same sort of Mr. McDreamy's kind of thing. Yeah. No matter where they are, there's something to say about Jon Snow. So Red Wedding and Jon Snow, those are like your lines.
Write this on your palm.
There you go. Oi with the poodles already. Okay, so we have like, we have enough shows that we could talk for 5 hours. And I think that can't happen. So if we find, let's hit True Detective for a quick second. Because I feel like that is part of conversations a lot.
Yes. More so season one.
Mm-hmm. Because season one was good.
But people have a lot to say about season two because how terrible it was. Because
it was terrible. Right. True Detective is the show that it was kind of, I was going to say it was Making a Murderer before Making a Murderer. That's not true. But everybody watched it religiously. Like you wouldn't wait a minute once the episode was released. Like you wanted to see it, all that kind of stuff.
It broke HBO Go.
It legitimately broke it.
Do you remember that? Like, no. I think the finale, HBO Go didn't have enough bandwidth and it broke it. Like, wow. It shut it down. So many people wanted to watch it live because I binged it. Like, it was on demand or something, and I just like went through 8 episodes, and so I was so ready for that finale. And yeah, it broke. It like shut down, and a lot of people were mad about it. Yeah,
I can see why.
Because it's an anthology show, mm-hmm. So it's 10 episodes in front to back. It tells a complete story. And then the second season is another story. It's a complete, different actors, different characters.
Everything is completely different. The thing to know about True Detective, I feel like, is this is what made us actually talk seriously about Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Because he was brilliant in it. He was amazing. Yeah. 100%. But then he started doing those weird Lincoln commercials and he went back. Like, what happened?
But the Lincoln commercials, in his defense, is what he's saying in that is everything that we loved about Rust Cole, his character in True Detective. He just didn't stop acting like that character.
He's just still Rust
like,
Cole.
He's just, time is a flat circle. Like, he just turned into that guy again.
That's the line you need to know, by the way, for True Detective. Time is a flat circle.
And also making beer cans into little people.
Right.
Didn't he do that?
He did do that. Yeah. He would break open cans. Yeah, he would like tear apart the metal and like form it into little people.
I'm so happy for Matthew McConaughey though. Like he really like made deliberate choices to not be, a joke.
Right.
And he showed that, oh yeah, he's really good.
He's really good. He was really good in that. And then the second season has Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights in it.
Why can't he catch a break?
I don't know. I feel so bad for the guy. Like he's always going to be only Tim Riggins and everything else he does sucks. I don't understand. I hate it for him.
You know what my theory is? He cut his hair.
That hair was Samson, his Samson power.
It's Samson.
100%.
It was. You know, when I'm hanging out with Minka Kelly all the time now, I'll ask her what she thinks.
We have to tell that story. It's not really a story.
It's an anecdote.
You're an Uber driver.
Yes.
And one day.
It's something I do. It's not my identity.
You sometimes drive for
Uber. I occasionally drive for Uber, yes.
And one day you were doing a pickup and who got into your car?
Minka Kelly. From Friday Night Lights.
Lila Garrity. Lila Garrity. And then she was also in Parenthood.
Two of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
And I played it the coolest you could possibly play it until the very end. And I was
wondering how you did.
Yeah. No, it was completely fine. She was on her phone most of the time. We had a little, very light conversation. She was very sweet to the point where I was like, you know what? I think if I ask her if I get a picture really quick, she's not going to be like, rude about it.
Sure.
Which I never do that. Every time I see a celebrity, seeing them out in the wild is enough. Mm-hmm. I would rather them be my friend than get a picture with them.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. Totally.
I want them to be, and so this was at the very last second before I dropped her off, I was like, you're Minka Kelly, right? I'm not crazy. And she was like, no, I am. Cause she doesn't live here in Nashville. Huh. So I was like, is it super lame if I ask for a picture? And she was like, it's a little lame, but I'll allow it.
Nice.
And I was like, you're the best.
Nice.
I don't like your character in Friday Night Lights, but
no, she's the worst. The worst.
But now I spent this 15 minutes in the car taking her to the airport, I feel like I should vouch for her.
Totally.
We're friends now.
Now you're friends.
Which we are absolutely 100% not friends.
Okay, so let's hit, these are ones that neither of us have seen.
Yes.
That we want to eventually. There's just too much television, but people talk about a lot. So we need to hit this fast. House of Cards.
Yeah.
Everybody loves House of Cards. Is he a president? I
think he becomes the president.
Over the course of the show.
Yes.
Okay.
He's like a senator or congressman. Or people are yelling at their iPods right now.
They're so mad at us.
What? I guess they're. Are they married?
Well, I know. It's Kevin Spacey.
Princess Buttercup and Kevin Spacey.
Like the ageless, amazing Princess Buttercup, Robin Wright. How is she so beautiful? Like, I don't even understand. Incredible. It's amazing.
The crush I had on her in 1987 continues to this day.
As it should. As it should. So, but that one is like a political thing, but they're not good people, right? Aren't they like pretty terrible people?
It's the classic sort of thing that's popular now with the anti-hero.
Right.
Where you're rooting for them, but you in real life you wouldn't.
Right. In real life, you would hate them.
Like Walter White or Don Draper. You're sort of not supposed to like these characters, but you also want them to succeed in their evil doings.
Right. Another one is Homeland. Everybody still talks about Homeland. That's still on.
The thing that stops me from watching Homeland, as much as I love Claire Danes, and don't get me wrong, I love Claire Danes, is that she has like mental issues, her character does. And I have a hard time watching a show, especially a main character who's struggling with like mental breakdowns and stuff.
Gotcha.
It stresses me out.
Right.
But yeah, she is essentially Homeland Security and has, and they're, it's scandal, but on another level, because she's actually solving, like, you know,
she has clearance counter, and training.
Counterterrorism. She's actually like, I think anyway, that she's actually like, you know, keeping terrorists from coming into this country.
It seems like there's a lot more at stake for her than for Olivia Pope. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But it seems that
The show has Mandy Patinkin. Mandy Patinkin, another
Princess
I want
Pride.
Him to be my dad.
Oh, my word.
Pride.
So good. Inigo Montoya. So good. So what we don't have any lines or anything for Homeland or for House of Cards because we haven't watched it yet. But that's kind of the general, that's the gist of what the show is.
Yeah.
It's like they're everything. You can probably be safe assuming that almost every single show exists in one of four settings. Government, medicine.
Yes.
Some sort of dystopian apocalyptic world.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Or like a sorority house, like a mean sorority house. Like that.
Give me an example.
That like Pretty Little Liars and Queens and like all of these like ones that are driven by girls who all look like Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of are safe in those four categories. Is there a show that you watch? Because we have a list of ones that we both watch. Is there one that you're like, more people should be talking about the show and I want everybody to know about it?
I mean, I'll always go to Fargo because that's the, but I feel like everybody knows about it now. Now that it's two seasons in, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I need to make time for that. Or they're starting to make time for that.
Is that the same as True? Cause I haven't done that one yet. That's on my list.
It's anthology.
Is that the same as True Detective? So it's like,
which is
one
great
story,
because you can watch,
season.
You don't have to watch both. You can watch either of the seasons and in whatever order, it doesn't matter. But season two is a flashback to, it has one. It has a couple of the same characters from season one, but season one is present day. And there's an older character who used to be a cop, and he tells a story in season one, this older wise character who runs a diner in season one, about something that happened to him in the '70s. And they took that story that he told in an episode and made a whole season out of it.
Wow. That has
for season two,
Kirsten Dunst, right?
Yes.
Is she in that one? Is she good?
And Jesse Plemons. She's amazing.
Really?
And I like Kirsten Dunst. I know a lot of people don't. She has won everybody over with this role. She is fantastic. You'll love her.
This is her Matthew McConaughey True Detective thing.
100%. She's going to get so many roles from this because she's just showed how she's not Kirsten Dunst. You don't think you're watching Kirsten Dunst when you watch it. She's this character.
Nice. Cool.
Do you have some?
Let's see. I really... That people aren't watching. Well, I'm currently watching Vikings, and I feel like that is... That's just a really great show, but it is, a lot of people don't like violence and it's super gory. I mean, they have like human sacrifice. Like it's a little much sometimes, but it's really good.
Is it?
It really is. Like I really have really enjoyed it a lot.
Is the production value good? Cause that throws me off.
It's fantastic.
Okay, good.
It's beautiful. The settings are beautiful. The sets are beautiful. It does have like, the one thing I will say about it is I had to get clarification from my sister who's been watching it since the beginning. They all speak in English, but then when different groups like the Vikings like invade England, like they go and take over Wessex or whatever, and then they're talking to the people who live in Wessex, then all of a sudden everyone is talking in different languages. They're talking in like Norse and then like Canterbury Tales language or whatever. And then
they turn into the Brothers Grimm.
They do. And then the thing that confused me is the person who is the translator, he's speaking in English. And I'm like, why don't you all just speak in English? Like, I don't understand what's happening. But then my sister explained to me, she's like, I didn't watch Star Trek. She's a Trekkie. But like, it's kind of like how English is sort of the viewer's universal language. Like everyone speaks English until they're together. And then you're like, oh wait, none of these people actually speak English. But if they spoke the way they spoke, we would just be reading subtitles all the time. And that's no fun.
Yeah. Nobody likes to do that.
Nobody wants to read. So that's why you're watching TV in the first place.
Did you also
don't want to read.
You don't want to read. Did you also have this problem when you saw the 1992 Disney reboot of Three Musketeers and
with Chris O'Donnell?
And Chris O'Donnell didn't have an accent at all. He sounded like he was from Iowa.
He was not French. He was not British. Nothing. He was nothing. He was just
Chris O'Donnell. Being a kid and being like, wait.
Well, none of them did. Kiefer Sutherland didn't have one, right? He had an American accent.
No, he didn't either. But Oliver Platt and Chris and Charlie Sheen.
Can we just pause? We just said those four names. Let's just remember the people that were in that show. And wow. And Tim Curry was in that show.
What a cast. Tim Curry crushed.
Yeah, he was great. He was super creepy. Yeah, but none of them had accents and they were like supposed to be French. It was so weird. But
Oliver Platt had this sort of like American actor doing a Shakespearean play. He kind of had the like, what super do you think should happen here? Like he kind of had that bravado, but you're right. But I wonder if that bothers you in this show or if that bothers you across every platform.
It didn't.
If they don't speak English or dialect or anything.
When people don't have a proper accent, like if you're playing like a French count and you don't have a French accent, that bothers me. Like you don't have to speak French, but at least like sound French.
Yes.
Vikings, like they speak English, but they all have different accents. Like they have accents to their English. And then when they're together, the Norse and the whatever it is they're speaking, like they sound legit. Like it's really quality. I think you might really like it. But here, don't do what I did because it was on Amazon Prime. And I did my first episode that I watched. I accidentally watched the first episode of season 3 instead of season 1.
Oh no.
And my sister was like, the show's so good. You're going to love it so much. And I texted her after I finished the first episode. And I was like, I'm just really confused. Like everybody seems to know what's going on and I don't really know. And then I realized it's because I missed 2 entire seasons of the show.
Yeah.
So start at the beginning. I feel like that's a good tip.
Okay. Good. You know, that's a good tip. Pro tip. Don't start in season 3 of any
show.
Start
at the beginning. Oh my gosh. And then, okay. So two more. Because these are names that come up a lot in conversation that people need to know. You already said them. Walter White and Don Draper. Mm-hmm. People need to know. They need to know how to traverse the conversations with Walter White and Don Draper. Let's start with Don Draper and Mad Men.
Yes.
Because I watched three-ish episodes after he got with the nanny. Megan? Is that her name?
Oh, so you watched seasons.
I did. I watched a couple seasons.
You said three. Okay, you just said episodes.
I watched a few. Oh, sorry. I watched a few seasons and I just.
Okay, so you watched a season 4 then.
Okay, is that what it was? And then I just, I don't know. I just got kind of like bored. I got bored.
Well, here's the thing. It is inherently a quote unquote boring show. Mm-hmm. I don't like that term because it's not. It's just slower than other shows. And it's more, it's character driven. It's not plot driven. So if you don't care about these characters, bounce.
And
get
I
out
didn't.
Of there.
There wasn't. I mean, I didn't really like anybody.
I love everybody on that show. So and there are a few that I love hate that I'm sort of that. And also after that season, they really do show that this ridiculousness that a lot of them have been going on in the duration of the show doesn't hold up and it lands a lot of them in trouble. A lot of the actors, like a few of them gained weight, like a few of them like started dealing with, like they actually like a lot of the, you know, drinking all the time, doing whatever they want, philandering started to catch up with them.
Oh, well, that's
and it really
good.
Shows and it shows growth and they showed growth. So, but what I mean, essentially, it's an ad agency in the 1960s that people don't know. Mm-hmm. And Don Draper is like this wunderkind of like he has everything going for him. He's the most handsome.
So he's, handsome. That's really why
so
I started
handsome.
Watching because John Hamm so in a suit with his hair
intelligent.
Slicked back. It's too much.
He's got the dark brooding thing down, but not in an annoying way. Mm-hmm. And you know, but he also just is a man who is a slave to his past. So if you hear people say, because he's also not who he says he is, which is not a spoiler at this point. They let you know in the first season that he has a past where his birth name is Dick Whitman. So if you ever hear anybody say, you know, reference Dick Whitman, it means somebody that is hiding something from their past.
Ooh,
essentially.
There's your line. So, there's your oil with the poodles.
There it is. Absolutely. So, I mean, it even happened in like 30 Rock. There's an episode where Jack McBrayer's character, Kenneth, right before he passes out, he says, "I'm Dick Whitman," and he passes out. And like, it's just those references that like have permeated our culture now.
You know, that's my favorite like that's show of all time, right?
It's the best.
30 Rock. Yeah. It's the best show ever.
It's 30 Rocks. 30 Rocks. I'm my mom now. You still watching that 30 Rocks? Is there a sequel, 31 Rocks? Mom, get out of here. No, 30 Rock and Parks and Rec are they are equal in my mind. That's, well, you know, Tina and Amy.
Okay, so
that show is brilliant.
So Mad Men it's over now, right? Or is it about to be
over?
It is
over.
It's over
it
now.
Just ended last year, yes.
Okay, all right. And it was the show, I feel like that if you watch award shows at all or you hear people talking about award shows, Mad Men was always nominated.
Always nominated.
And
didn't
never
always
won. It was a bridesmaid all the time until last year, right?
It won the first year, which they love to do that. Mm-hmm. They love to award something like Girls right off the bat and then never talk about it again, which is really annoying.
Totally.
Because a lot of these shows, Lost got nominated and won its first year, mm-hmm. never again, but it only got better. Like, right. So it's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. So, but at the end, Jon Hamm finally won an Emmy for Don Draper.
And which, I cheered, thank goodness, even though
he's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. I totally cheered for him.
He's
so
a perfect human being, yeah. And I will never hear anything to the contrary, but that's basically what you need to know for that show. There's not a lot. I mean, there's no story. there is story, but you have to like really pay attention to like, it's not one of those you can just put on and leave the room and come back and be like, now what is happening now?
Yeah.
Because they never talk to the audience. Like nobody talks. What's the trope that the writers use? Exposition. Mm. There's never exposition in the show,
right?
To where they're like, "Oh, you remember that one time that we went down to that diner and you saw that girl, and then later the girl shows up, and you're like, I'm glad we had this exposition so we know who this girl is." You just have to remember that, right. Like, "Oh, that's the guy." And in my snobby TV viewing experience, I love that because it makes me rewarded for remembering something and not being handed something. But
it kind of makes you part of a club a little bit because, like, I know this.
It feels good, and Mad Men is my favorite drama. I love it through and through, and I've seen it 5 times all the way through. It's nothing crazy happens in it. It's like it's almost like the good version of a sleeping pill where you put it on and you know you can go to bed to it because nothing crazy is gonna happen. All the other dramas I watch, I get so emotionally invested in the relationships, like Parenthood or Lost or Breaking Bad or something. You can't go to sleep after watching that.
No, you can't.
Because first off, at Parenthood, you're crying.
You're crying. Or if you're watching Breaking Bad and you're my sister, you're legitimately afraid that drug dealers are going to break through your front door and murder you in your sleep.
Well, they make it, I mean, they do introduce suburbia to this other drug world, so it's not completely.
So we'll finish with Breaking Bad because... I feel like of any show that I can really remember in my lifetime, other than Lost, not saying that Lost was more, but like there are very few shows that the viewing audience is so unbelievably invested in the story and in the people that like you can't think of anything else. You will not feed your children. Like you will call out sick from work. Like you'll do all these things because
and when you find somebody else that's watching it in real time,
they're your best friend.
You grab them and you're like, we have to talk.
I only have one real time Walking Dead friend.
Ooh.
Just one. And I'm so glad I have her because we text during commercials.
Yeah.
Basically just like all caps expletives because we don't know what just happened because it's so
and a bunch of emojis.
Yes, so many emojis. The blue, the face that's like blue with the hands, you know, the scare face.
That's the Walking Dead emoji.
That's the Walking Dead face. So but yeah, so Breaking Bad is definitely in the top tier of those shows. Where if you find somebody who, and that's why it's hard to go into a conversation with someone who's talking about Breaking Bad if you don't watch it, because you're like, why are they crying? Or why are they so like, why are they shaking in this moment? It doesn't make any sense.
Why do they care so much about a weasel drug dealer kid? Because I can't explain to you my affection for Jesse.
I love Jesse so much.
And I do, my heart just immediately.
I know.
Because you know that he knows the right thing to do and he just gets it's amazing and it's been talked about to death, but Walter White and Jesse's journey is flip-flopped.
It is.
You know.
You start out caring about one and hating the other. And then by the end, you're like, nope, not interested in you anymore.
But Walter is the good guy, quote unquote, who is trying to do bad things just so he can do essentially, it's the wrong reason, you know, mm-hmm. he does something for the wrong reason, the wrong thing for the right reasons, maybe.
So here's the Breaking
and
Bad.
Jesse's the other side.
The other way, right. So here's the thing with Breaking Bad. It starts out Walter White, and that's the name you'll hear. Such a good name. This Mr. show White. Is full of good names.
So AKA Heisenberg.
Walter White is a high school chemistry teacher who gets diagnosed with cancer. And he's like, they don't have a lot of money. They live in New Mexico, right?
Yeah, Albuquerque.
They live in Albuquerque. And so the setting is really cool because everything is just like brown and dusty all
the
time.
Desert.
It is.
Yeah.
It's totally the desert. And so he gets diagnosed with cancer and he can't pay for it. Like he can't get treatment. And then he realizes that he could cook meth.
He goes on a ride along with his DEA agent brother-in-law and finds out how much money there is in making meth. And he's like, I'm a brilliant chemistry teacher. I know how to make the best meth.
Right.
And he makes the best meth. And he teams up with a former student who's a mm-hmm. dropout, but who's a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. I mean, even now saying the premise out loud, I'm like, this is a brilliant show.
It's so
the
good.
Show is, what an amazing idea for a show.
Yeah, it's so good. And so
then it goes on from there. And it's all this, you know, Breaking Bad is a term used for like a slippery slope. As soon as you make one bad decision, a bunch of them follow. Mm-hmm. And you really get to, and it doesn't really sound like it can sustain for six seasons, but oh man, it goes some amazing places.
It's not my favorite show. It is the best show I think I've ever seen. Best made show. Well crafted, well written, well acted show I've ever seen in my entire life. It's unbelievable. But here's the thing. If you watch Law and Order and Law and Order makes you queasy, Breaking Bad is not for you.
Yeah. If Ice Cube.
if that's your level of danger.
So Ice-T, sorry. If Ice-T understanding or learning about sex crimes makes you queasy.
Yeah. Don't watch Breaking Bad.
But you're saying that these little girls got molested. I'm Ice-T.
Yeah, it's just the same things. Oh my gosh! But is it possible to have a show? And see, here's maybe the thing that you can say, even if you've not seen Breaking Bad, is you could sort of speak in these like abstract generalities and sound like Russ Cole and say things like, "How is it possible to have such a dark, intense show that's also so beautiful?"
Yes.
Because it is.
It's like an opera.
It is. Gorgeous. It's just, it's like, I want to go watch it again right this second because it's so amazing. So like, but you can just be like, yeah, Walter White. Yeah. Meth. The meth is blue. It's like icy blue. But you can just sort of be like, man, that's just one of the best shows. Like no one will argue with you if you say anything complimentary about how dark it is, how intense it is, how well written. There's nothing wrong. There's no flaw in the show.
It's like the thing that keeps there. Yeah, there isn't. There isn't a even like all the little characters that come in. You know, the drug dealer friends or everybody is perfectly casted.
It's perfect.
There's not a And I wonder if it's one of those things that over time it's gonna start showing its flaws, or it'll just be the thing that forever holds up.
I think it's gonna be like the poster child of the perfect show for a long time.
I think so too. Yeah.
It's so
this
good.
Is the same way I feel about Arrested Development, Sans fourth season. Where Arrested Development isn't my favorite comedy of all time, mm-hmm. but it's darn near perfectly written.
It is.
Like it's probably note for note the funniest show, mm-hmm. joke wise.
Mm-hmm.
And how the meta levels and stuff like that. But preference wise, I would rather go for a Parks and Rec or an Office or something like that to watch all the time. But like, I can appreciate and love Arrested Development. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? And I say the same thing. Yeah. The same thing for Breaking Bad. Like it just is that show.
And if you're not a TV watcher, that's another sort of general conversation point you can throw in. It's like, ask the question, like, are there shows that you appreciate their excellence, but maybe they're just not your actual favorite? And then really all you need to do is, if you feel lost in a conversation about television, is just ask a question and get that person talking, because clearly, based on what's just happened between the two of us, people who like TV will talk about liking TV for
they
a really long time.
They won't
stop. Like, they're not going to stop ever. So all you have to do is get them talking. And so hopefully, I'm hoping what has happened in the last little bit is that you, dear listener, who maybe you do watch TV, but you don't watch like this one show that your cubicle person watches, you got just enough of a little like, okay, I can enter in and then I can escape. to not feel like a stupid person. Because you're not. No one is stupid for not watching certain shows or for not watching any at all. Like, there's no judgment here for that. Everyone is completely different. But it is nice to kind of know what people are talking about so you don't feel like George Michael Bluth walking away with his head down.
With Charlie Brown song playing. Yeah, that's the heartbreaking thing about our culture and society is it's so much habit has permeated that it can make you feel left out if you're in any kind of social situation, and it makes you not even want to go into a social situation. So hopefully we have done some good today.
I hope so. I really hope we've helped people feel like geniuses about TV a little more than they already did. Okay, so let me ask you this real fast. Tell me something that you currently love, something that you need, and something that you hate.
I love Oscar season.
Nice.
This is a really nerdy thing and kind of snobby thing, and I know it's popular to not like the Oscars, but I love it because it makes me very intentional about the movies I watch. Every year for the last 10 years, I've tried to watch every Best Picture nomination, and it's just a fun thing to when you're caught up and watching the Oscars when you've seen all the movies is an amazing feeling. It's what we are talking about with this episode, where if you've watched every TV show, and then you can have a conversation with anybody about whatever they like. But movies are shorter, and the conversation doesn't go on as long because there's less to discuss. But I love Oscar season because I go through and watch all these movies, and I find movies that I normally wouldn't have seen that get highlighted or whatever. Or I'm like, I saw a preview for that, but I didn't really know if it was good. Oh, it is good? That's like The Revenant was that way for me this year. Like, oh, I didn't really know if I was going to watch that, but now I watch it and I loved it. So I love Oscar season. I love all the hubbub about it. I will watch all the red carpet stuff. I am in it. I make giant bowls of snacks, and I just sit and I just let it wash over me. And as soon as it's over, I don't want to watch a movie for like 6 months.
Nice.
Like, as soon as it's over, I'm done with it. I'm sort of like, I don't want to hear about, you know, Birdman again for a while. But I just enjoy, I love movies so much, and I love watching it being celebrated and watching actors like interact with each other and knowing that they were in this movie together, and they were in this, oh, look, they're sitting next to each other. They're talking, they're friends. That's why the internet exploded at the Golden Globes when Leo and Kate talked, you know. It's just like
exploded.
Feels, we watch so intensely that we feel like we know these people. So when they interact with each other outside of the confines of how we know them, it's the greatest feeling.
It is the greatest feeling.
So well, I love Oscar season.
Well put.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
I've thought a lot about this, obviously.
<Don't>.
what I need, tax returns. Because straight up broke after the holidays and just got a tax return, and I'm a big fan.
Nice. Nice. Well done.
No need to say anything else about that. I think a lot of people can tweet some praise hand emojis.
Yeah, lots of air high fives on that one. Yeah.
What I hate, winter. I'm so ready for winter to be over with.
This winter has been the worst. Is Nashville, I feel like Nashville winter isn't a pleasant winter. It's just like cold and wet, right? Like, I feel like you don't get anything fun.
We occasionally get snow and ice, but it's mostly almost snow and ice that just turns into wet, cold, whichever way you want to put it.
Either way is bad.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
Being cold and wet are two of my least favorite feelings. And I'm so excited for spring to get here. I'm like, I know it's such a cliche. Everybody, you know, complains on Facebook and Twitter about how the cold is annoying, but it is so annoying, and I'm so done with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I hate.
Well, it's
I can't actually hate a thing that will hurt somebody's feelings. I don't think I'll hurt God's feelings by hating winter.
It's funny because whenever this comes out, like right now, like the Oscars are Sunday.
They are. They're
and
coming
it's
out.
It's currently winter time. When this comes out, neither of those things will be relevant anymore. So I'm sad for you.
I will
that
still
Oscar
hate and love
I was
them
gonna say I'm sad same. For you that Oscar season will be over, but I'm so happy that when you listen to this, you're gonna be in like the spring. It's gonna be beautiful and warm.
Future
and sunny.
Future me will be
so happy. Future Nick Flora. Oh my word. Okay. Well, I'm sad to say we should probably stop, but we really should because we've talked. We said many words, and I'm for real. I'm not going to be able to let this whole Christian music recovery podcast idea go.
Put a pin in it. This needs to happen.
I feel like it needs to happen. So we'll see each other again in that context, and we're going to just blow that little that niche.
I'm an amazing person. I'm coming up with podcast ideas and never going through with them. But this is one that I feel like we should make happen.
Well, I'm really good at not necessarily coming up with ideas, but making an idea happen.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you're the unicorn in the artistic world, because that doesn't happen.
This could be the thing that, like, maybe we make this happen. So, so for those of you who are listening to this particular episode, and then one day you're going to be like, I heard when the origin story of Christian Music Recovery Podcast.
Yes.
And you're going to be so proud. You're going to be like in the Mad Men cult, where you're rewarded.
You're rewarded because you were there.
You were there. Oh, man. Well, thank you for
thank you, Kendra, for
joining
having
me.
This was an utter delight.
I'm so glad it was for me, too. And we will talk soon. Thanks, guys, for listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. Thanks, guys, for listening. You can connect with Nick on Twitter. He's very funny there, at Nick Flora. He also tours the country on occasion doing house shows. We've had him at our home for a Christmas show, and it was so great. So file that away, like for your next party or just for any sort of occasion. Nick is really great to have in your house to do a little concert for your friends. We'll be back next week with Meg Dirksen talking about raising teenagers. Y'all, it is a rich episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. And if you enjoy listening to this podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can show us even more support by leaving us a review on iTunes and making the iTunes gods very, very happy. Thanks so much for being part of the Lazy Genius Collective. We'll see you next week.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.